something a lot easier about talking to a whole room of strangers about insurance benefits. Is that better? I'm sorry. Is that better? Can everybody hear me? Okay. I'll yell if you need me to. It's a little more embarrassing talking to a room full of people that you know. Am I alone in that? Okay, cool. All right. So I want to start off with this verse. It's actually a passage out of Ecclesiastes 4, starting with verse 8. There was a man all alone, and he had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. So I'm guessing he didn't go without. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. He sounds like about 10 of my friends. Two of them who've walked away from the Lord, so that's pretty sad. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and the one who helps him up. Pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up, excuse me. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And I'd heard that verse, I don't know, probably ever since I was a kid, and I thought, you know, that's a really nice verse of encouragement. You know, you think this is commonly spoke of in the church. But when I came here the first time 15 years ago, I noticed that whenever I came into the sanctuary, if I didn't have my mind right, I'd feel very uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? And I realized that there is a real strong presence of community here. But even in that, it can dissolve. It can be corrupted. And the story I was going to give, the example I was going to give, was one of that I came up with a long time ago. It just hit me out of the blue one day. And I was telling this to an old pastor friend of mine. And he said, you need to share that. And I thought, okay. And it wasn't until that Wednesday night when I did, I realized I've never spoken to a group of people before. So, been a little revised. But how many of you have ever shopped at a general store? I'm looking at people with gray hair. Okay. Especially you, old man. Does anybody know what the word general means in general store? You ever stop to think about it, Doreen? Do you know what it means? General needs. Your everyday needs. Everything that you need to survive. Soap, laundry detergent, rice, beans, milk, eggs, things that you need. Things that you don't want to drive all the way into town for. It's hard for us to fathom a 7-hour journey from Varnell all the way to Dalton. But that's what it would be on horseback or with a wagon. Now it'd take you, 10 minutes in a car? Just get out there. You're gone. So why would you want to stop at a store up there for something you can just go and get at Walmart or Kroger or Aldi? That's my place. The thing is, back in the day when that's all you had, the general store fed the needs of the people. But the people supplied the general store with a livelihood. It was a symbiotic relationship. And as society grew, innovation came, cars came, people stopped going. The general store said, well, okay, we need to put in gas pumps. We need to put in whatever we can to keep our business here and not let it go there. Well, that once a year, twice a year trip into the big city became a once a month trip to the big city, became a once a week trip to the big city. And pretty soon, the general store was a place that you went maybe just to get gas on your way home from the grocery store or wherever you went. And now they're on a historic register. They're not a place of necessity anymore. You can go out to Villa now, and I think it's one of the last operating general stores in the state of Georgia. I've been in there many times, bought many, many, many a tube of crickets on my way to go fish. But it got me to thinking, because I never really noticed them much until I moved up here, that the concept of the general store is the same concept as the church body. You see, I'm close to Chad, Lynette, Patty, my wife sometimes, Craig, when I'm allowed. She's not mad at me. Joe, just to name a few. Joe, can I call on you anytime I want? Anytime I need you? Anytime. Awesome. Awesome. Chad, you? Okay. That's the same as having that general store there that you just go to, someplace you can walk to from your house. You can see it from your general area. And you don't have to drive to go to it. You don't have to take time out of your day. You can just go there quickly and have your needs met. And the association that I made all those years ago was at this particular church that I was at, everybody was taking their needs to the pastor. They were laying them at his feet and saying, I need you to fix this for me. I need you to pray about this for me. Pray with me. Help me work this out. And he actually came to me and said, man, I'm exhausted. One day I called him out of the blue and he said, everybody's been calling me with a problem. That's what I've been dealing with all day. Now what's your problem? I said, I ain't got a problem. I just called you to see how you're doing. Chirp. Chirp. Silence. And it became very clear to me that this was an epidemic in the body. We don't want to stand with each other. We don't want to share with each other. And when I say we, I'm talking about the church as a whole. In here, not so evident. I've not seen any evidence of it. Maybe it's isolated. But in reality, most people look at Craig as a message bringer, but he's not the go-to. No offense. Just don't get that big hit over there. Hey, it's easy, right? It's easy when you look at your phone, you're like, no messages, yeah. But there are times when we think, okay, I need to take this to somebody, and we may have that go-to person, but what we fail to realize is for as much as, say, Chad may want to speak to me about an issue, and most people, not saying anybody in this room, but most people tend to say, oh man, this guy's always got something to bring to me. He's always got something he wants to talk to me about. What we fail to realize is every time you come to me, you strengthen me. It's not just me strengthening you. And the same goes for Patty. And the same goes for Tony. Same goes for Joe. Every single one of you. Anytime that you have a need, don't ever feel like when you bring it to somebody, you're just laying your problems on their shoulders. And anytime that you are that person, that go-to person, don't ever think that, oh man, why am I always somebody's go-to? Be proud of it. Own that. Be so thankful for it. Because, one day I was sitting around thinking at work, I'm like, I can't go anywhere. And this is part of book 4 with the mountains. Okay? I can't go anywhere and not run into anybody, even strangers, who feel edified by my faith. And the Holy Spirit said, that's what I got you here for. own it. That's all I got.
Amen. And I don't think I've ever consciously been mad at you, so I know you're doing it as a joke, but good word.